Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, we'll talk to Ray Woodson about the Giants getting swept in Philadelphia after sweeping the Braves and the Facebook broadcast. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Now let's get to the conversation with Ray Woodson. Well, Ray, this has been quite a road trip for the San Francisco Giants. I mean, it starts out as they go to Atlanta, they sweep three, they had won five series in a row, and then all of a sudden they go to Philadelphia and things have completely changed. I mean, this team is not pitching well, and they struck out 55 times in this four-game series. It's the most time that they have struck out in a four-game series going back to 1913 for the Giants franchise. So I don't know what happened. It was just like a switch was flipped in a way that the Giants do not want to see, and I don't know what's going to what the repercussions are after a series like this, but they definitely can't feel very good about themselves going into Pittsburgh now.
Well, if you missed the Thursday game on Facebook, you didn't miss much. And I'm sure a lot of people decided it wasn't worth it to sign up to Facebook and have your identity thrown out to the entire world. But it was a Jekyll and Hyde trip so far, the first seven games. You know, in Atlanta, they looked great. In Philadelphia, they just got slapped around. And they were outscored 32-8. That 55 strikeouts in a four-game series is just shattering the old record, which was 44 in a four-game series. You know, it's a combination of very aggressive hitting approach right now. A lot of guys into launch angle right now. And the Giants have hit a few more home runs. They've got a few more home run hitters. But they've got guys who are whiffing at a very high rate, even before this Philadelphia series, going up against some pitchers that have some live young arms. I mean, you know, they aren't exactly Cy Young candidates, but they're guys who will go after you at 95, 96 miles an hour. Vince Velasquez is an example. And, you know, Pivetta, the same thing yesterday. You get that combination, and you're going to get a lot of strikeouts. That's not 55 in a four-game series. That's just way too many. And, you know, at one point, I think they struck out five in a row against Velasquez. And this is after he gave up a couple of early home runs. Gregor Blanco to lead off the game. And then, you know, Alan Hansen, who's done a nice job filling in for Joe Panik. But after that, Velasquez settled down. And they had the Phillies pitching coach on the broadcast on Facebook talking to, I think it was Scott Braun, Ben Davis, and Javi Lopez was involved in that, and he was talking about how he was impressed with the way Velasquez settled down after giving up the early home run, and he was just blowing people away.
Well, let's talk about this Facebook broadcast, then we get back to the Giants and what they're doing, but since you brought up the Facebook broadcast, I thought it was good and bad, and I'm curious to hear your opinions on it. I mean, first of all, I thought that the telecast itself, the production, is really well done. I mean, it's an MLB Network production, so you kind of expect that. I really liked the interviews that they had. They didn't have commercial breaks, or, you know, they didn't have commercials in the breaks, so they were, you know, able to do some different things. I liked the interviews. They had Bruce Bochy, you know, like you said, pitching coach, all that kind of stuff. That was pretty cool. You know, the graphics looked good. Everything looked good on that, and it was good listening to those announcers. But I think you have to get used to the fact, and I don't know that people from our generation, right, can get used to the fact that you've got these comments coming in. And sometimes it's fun to see that. And I like that on my phone, I could swipe it off so I didn't have to see that. But they were constantly taking these questions and then using those questions for their guests. And I think that kind of takes away. That's just my opinion. I think, you know, you're hired as broadcasters. That's your job, not the fans and whatever silly questions that some of them are going to come up with. So, I mean, I know that's the whole point of social media, that everybody gets involved, but it would take a lot of adjusting for me to really enjoy that part of it. And I don't know what you think, but I'm kind of 50-50 on the whole deal. What do you think?
Well, I think they're trying to get more interaction with fans. That's number one. It's clear, you know, the questions they're asking Bruce Bochy and the Phillies pitching coach and whatever. They're trying to get fans more involved, and that's fine in and of itself. And listen, that is the way of the future. Different content going through different conveyor belts out to the public. It's not just going to be broadcast TV or cable TV anymore. It's being disseminated, and people are streaming and things like that. So I get that it's changing. The optics of using Facebook right now, not real good, you know. And I think there are a lot of people that, you know, that are going to be upset about that and don't want to have to sign up in order to get this content. On the other hand, you're talking about a Thursday morning game Pacific time where the Giants are playing back east. And I don't know how many fans or listeners or viewers would be affected by that in the first place. So they probably found, you know, the lowest traffic time for them to give this a run. But it's not going away, Joe. This stuff is going to be used more and more in the future, and they're trying to get more and more creative with how they send the content out to the fans. And I'll harken back to a photo that you posted on Twitter, and here we're using another social media platform to talk about. These four guys behind home plate in Philly last night were looking at their phones. The game's right in front of them, and they're looking at their phones. All right? So you know, maybe they had to swipe right on Tinder. I don't know what was going on. Maybe they had a betting line they had to deal with. But, you know, I don't think Major League Baseball even cares that they're not watching the game if they're streaming their content, you know, on their phones. That's what it's come to now. That's the big emphasis for MLB. So it leads to some strange situations that I think old school fans are having a hard time dealing with right now.
Well, a couple thoughts on that. First of all, that what you're talking about, the tweet that I sent out with that photo, the thing that really struck me about it is that they had the best seats in the house. They're right behind the plate. They're right there. And four guys in a row sitting next to each other not watching it. Now, if you're in the nosebleeds, I understand. You're in the nosebleed seats, yeah, play with your phone. You're not going to really see the game anyway. They look like just ants down there. But you're right behind the plate. You should be riveted to the action. You know, and it kind of brings up what I was thinking about when I was listening to Jessica Mendoza on the Sunday night baseball game, and she was really, really interested and sort of surprised that fans were glued to every pitch in some game that she was calling. I forget which one it was. It might have been an Angel game. And it was late in the game. She's like, wow, they're really into this game. I'm like, well, what do you want them to be? Not into it? I mean, they're supposed to be into the game. So, I mean, it's funny how you almost expect a lot of fans to, you know, just be so distracted by everything else that's going on with their phone and not watch every pitch of a game.
Yeah, and, you know, look, at a Giants game, fans are usually pretty involved, I would say. For the most part, they're pretty well involved. But I think there are a couple things here. You know, are we paying now for a premium seat just to have a place to sit on your brains while you look at your phone? Is that what it's come to now? I mean, right. That might have been an extreme example you posted, but it's not unusual, I'll put it that way. And like I said, okay, MLB is trying to get people involved in all sorts of different ways to get the content out there. But I think it also comes back to, is the game watchable? And Tim Flannery, the former third base coach for the Giants, pointed this out on Twitter, I think in reaction to that photo you posted, that so much of baseball nowadays is strikeouts and home runs. And so you're seeing a lot of guys swinging and missing, like you did with the Giants in the Philly series 55 times. There's all that emphasis on launch angle with any fly balls. There's not a whole lot of action, right? It's either strikeouts and, occasional home run, which is exciting. He thinks if, you know, you had more people put ball in play, people have more to watch and react to. And that may be so. It may be that people are like, oh, this guy's going to strike out. You don't even think about it. But I don't know how much has to do with the nature of the game today, with the nature of society, how we're married to our phones. Maybe it's all of the above.
Yeah, it might be that. I mean, I think one of the things that they did pretty well on the Facebook broadcast was they sort of edited a lot of the comments from fans. I mean, they might have had somebody just doing that job, you know, and handing it to Scott Braun. You know, yeah, they had to have. And it was pretty good because, I mean, like, he would get some decent questions because there's a lot of stuff rolling in that you're not going to use. I mean, you're just not. And that's what I didn't want to see. Well, that's why I swiped it on my screen. I just didn't want to see all of that. But when you do get some fan interaction and you know, at least you can go through it and edit it a little bit and say, okay, we're going to use this, this, and that. Yeah, it can be valuable. It's just that when you have the volume of fan interaction and you're trying to actually watch the game, it's kind of hard. I mean, I think, you know, there is that attention deficit disorder that's going on in your mind when you see all that.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't going to see comments like, oh, Bochy sucks, or things like that.
Right.
So that was a very important job to edit that out. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's fine to have fan questions directly to, you know, managers and players if you can. I think that's a good thing. You're trying to get the fans closer to the game, and you know, this era with the salaries going up and up, players are further and further from the fans than ever before. Aside from, you know, autographs and things like that, there's been a big gap there, and you know, it benefits Major League Baseball, I think, as they try to market the product to get the fans a little bit closer. So I get all that, but it's an odd feeling right now to kind of get used to that. But hey, we've gotten used to a lot of things. And by the way, listen to this podcast on your iPhone.
Right. And just pay attention. Pay attention to the podcast. Yeah. Don't have 10 things going on at once.
Yeah, don't listen to it while watching a game.
Exactly. Now getting back to the strikeout problem, since you brought that up, it's really weird to me. I mean, I know you have some different players on this team now, of course, you know, with the acquisitions the Giants made in the offseason. But last year, the Giants were a team that was very difficult to strike out. I think they were in the top three. Now, I mean, they're striking out like crazy. And guys who were swinging the bat well, like a Brandon Belt, I mean, he's not as hot now. And even Gorky Hernandez, he was going pretty well. He went 0-for-3 with 3 Ks today. And Nick Hundley, 0-for-4, 3 Ks today. It's like, what happened to these guys? These guys were going well, and now all of a sudden they're ice cold.
Yeah, well, we know Brandon Belt is streaky.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, the numbers are what they are, and they're pretty good. Gorky Hernandez got off to a very good start. I think that's a case of water sinking its own level. And probably the same for a few other players as well. But you also have some veteran players who got off to slow starts, and you figure they were going to be a little bit better, and they've gotten a little better, Longoria and McCutchen in particular. And maybe it's also you've got a new hitting coach, Alonzo Powell, and he may emphasize a certain approach. Now, with the veteran players, there's only so much you can do. Some of them aren't going to buy in totally on that. They've gotten to where they are, making a lot of money, doing things a certain way. Maybe with the younger players, you can reach them a little bit more with what you're trying to do. But I think more than anything, it's water seeking its own level, and that's kind of what's going on with this team right now. The water has been kind of sloshing around, right? It's been at a very low level, then a very high level in Atlanta, then back down to very low in Philadelphia. And, you know, the thing that concerns me and has concerned me from the get-go with the injuries to guys like Bumgarner and Cueto, and then at the start of the season, Samardzija, how is that starting pitching going to hold up? That's the story that remains to be told, because I've been saying it, and this was borne out in Philadelphia. You had four starters go 18 innings total. That's not going to cut it. Can they sustain this with, you know, leaning on some young arms, like Chris Stratton, Ty Block, and so forth, without Cueto, without Bumgarner? You know, it's going to be tough over the long haul. They've held up pretty well so far. They're at 500. And maybe they end up with a winning road trip if they play well in Pittsburgh. But the same thing is going to pop up there. How deep are the starters going to get into the game? And how are the hitters going to size up against similar pitchers in Pittsburgh, young pitchers, like they saw in Philadelphia? So I think some of this is over now a quarter of a season. We're starting to see what this team is, which is around a 500 team, again, with a lot of injuries. If they can hold on till those guys get back, as we've been talking about, they'd have a decent rotation. The offense is going to be inconsistent. If you're going to be going after launch angle and fly balls, you're going to have some swales there, and I think that's where they are right now.
Inside China Basin continues with Ray Woodson right after this. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time. And the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California, and there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Let's talk about the pitching. Right now, the best starter they have is Andrew Suarez. Now, you would have thought I was crazy if I told you that before the season started. I know he was sort of in their plans and spring training and everything, but I mean, he's throwing the ball really well, and he doesn't break the radar gun or anything, but he hits his spots, he changes speeds, he throws a good breaking ball. You know, he could definitely have the makings of something. I don't know what happened to Chris Stratton. He had the baby, and then they were, you know, he was exhausted. He was exhausted from the trip that he had to make going back and forth from Florida back to San Francisco and everything. But this last start, you know, it just didn't look like the same guy. So I don't know how consistent he's going to be. But, yeah, I mean, the good news is at least Madison Bumgarner is now playing catch. And Johnny Cueto didn't have to have Tommy John surgery. Maybe they'll get him back around the All-Star break. So, I mean, you know, that's the best case scenario is that you get some guys back and maybe this rotation starts to, you know, form into a decent rotation, but you wondered if they should have gone harder after Matt Harvey or something, or try to get another veteran in here to try to fill a spot, because right now it's kind of, you know, they're leaking oil in that rotation.
Well, first of all, about Matt Harvey, you know, my reaction when guys like that are available is why not, unless the money is problematic, and in the end he goes somewhere else. But the thing with Matt Harvey is he's got problems that have to be dealt with now. For this team, in order for him to be effective. He's not really going to be a long-term project for them or a low-impact project, say, like Sam Dyson. Last year, it was low-impact because they're out of the pennant race, so you could tinker around with a pitcher like that. This year, they presume to be contenders. It's hard to tinker around with a guy like Harvey, who's obviously been tremendously talented and done some great things in his career, but he's a long way from there now. So how long is it going to take to, you know, make that project bear fruit? You don't know about that. So that's one thing. Maybe another veteran pitcher that is something you're looking at. But I think for the Giants, being right at the luxury tax, they want to see what the young arms can do. And I'm okay with that, but at the same time, you're asking a lot of these young arms to keep you in the pennant race. And so far it's been pretty good. Ty Block's been on and off. Chris Stratton probably, you know, has been great from the end of last year to early this year, probably better than he's going to be. But that's another case of water seeking its own level. And he's been through a lot lately, obviously, a big moment in his life, having a baby and going through all that and all those emotions. And we'll see if he settles down a little bit. But he's probably pitching better than he's going to be. Suarez, I like for a couple of different reasons. He throws strikes. He doesn't mess around. He hits his spots, like he says. Pretty good control pitcher. And no, he doesn't break the radar, but a lefty at 93 can do some damage in this league. We've seen that. Especially with a guy like Suarez, if you notice, slow wind-up, quick arm action.
Yeah.
And sometimes that makes that 93 seem a little quicker. It gets on batters a little faster. So I think with that combination, we're not talking about a, you know, a dominant pitcher, but we're talking about a guy who could be a middle rotation starter in the major leagues. So they're finding all this all out at once and, you know, just trying to keep it together with bailing wire with all these injuries to key players. And, you know, it's 50-50 as to whether they're going to do that, whether the starting rotation can sustain. But it is, in a way, interesting to see how these young players respond.
Meanwhile, on the offensive side, Henry Schulman pointed it out. I mean, the outfield is not what they envisioned, you know, especially when you saw Mack Williamson come up, and it just was so exciting there for about a week where he looked like he was just going to tear it up. He was really the answer for the Giants in the outfield, you know, at least one of their answers. But he goes down with a concussion. He only had 19 at-bats, and you're filling the blanks with everybody else. And Austin Jackson has been a disappointment. I mean, I know he wasn't a full-time player the last few years, but last year he hit over 300 And right now he's at 221. So, I mean, they're just not getting the outfield production that they really need. And I don't know what the answer is, Ray. I mean, you can hope all you want that Mac Williamson is going to be healthy, but we do know about concussions. It's just so hard to know exactly where a player is going to go with that. And while Joe Panik has been out, I think Alan Hansen's done a nice job filling in and Kelby Tomlinson in the outfield. It just doesn't seem like they have the answer right now. I know Austin Slater is swinging it well at AAA. I don't know if they give him another chance.
Or Steven Duggar.
Yeah, Steven Duggar, yeah.
And, you know, Austin Jackson, the one thing you were hoping for is he hit lefties, and that hasn't happened. And they haven't gotten much out of the leadoff spot, which, again, was one of our concerns at the start of the year, and part of that due to Panik's injury. So, you know, these are the same problems they had last year with the outfield and with the leadoff spot. That was part of their undoing. So they've got to figure that out. And again, it might be leaning on these young players sooner than you expected, and you hope they produce. You know, Alan Hansen has been a nice addition. And this guy's got skills. There's no doubt about it. You can see that when he's on the field. But it's a matter of consistency for him. And he's not been able to develop that consistency at the major league level anywhere he's been. Now he's going to get that shot with Panik. And I think that Bruce Bochy said on the Facebook broadcast today that he's going to get more chances, Hansen is. And I think he's deserved that because he's got a few things that are rather eye-popping. Switch hitter who's got some pop in that bat, very athletic, and they could use more athleticism. And to that end, maybe you go with Steven Duggar. The thing about Austin Jackson is he can make spectacular plays, but he can take bad routes to balls as well, and we've seen a little bit of that so far this year. So it's going to have to be a short window for him to start producing, or I think you've got to go to guys like Duggar and Austin Slater. And, you know, Hunter Pence is going to come back, and we'll see if he can do something against lefties. That's got to be his role now. To me, he's a fourth or fifth outfielder. And, you know, get McCutchen going. He's started getting a little bit on the upswing in the last couple of weeks, but not to the level that you would expect. And it's going to come decision time here in, I'd say about a month or so, end of June, where you're going to decide whether you're a buyer or seller. You start selling off pieces. Or do you start buying in to make a run at it? Because that was what the offseason was about. We're going to go for it this year. Are they still going to be in that mode when the trade deadline comes around? I can't tell you where the Giants are going to be right now because of all these injuries and the unknown quantity of these young players. But, you know, a guy like Mac Williamson proved that he didn't need to be at Triple A anymore. He needed to get a shot, and he was, you know, spectacular for the first week or so. And once again, the concussion hits him, and, you know, you've got to take time with somebody like that on an injury like that. So I think it's real close to going to the youth movement here with Slater, with Duggar, with Shaw as well.
Yeah, I mean, that could spell the end for Blanco and Hernandez, and they haven't been bad. I mean, they're not terrible, no. But those are the guys that are kind of on the outside looking in if you do bring up a Steven Duggar, because if he comes up, he's got to play, and then all of a sudden you really don't have playing time for Blanco or Hernandez, and then the roster, too. You got a roster issue, so one of those guys is going to have to go, which is really too bad.
Yeah, well, you know, the guy like Hernandez and Blanco, and you know, you love having Blanco around again, and, you know, if you've read his story and what's going on in his homeland of Venezuela, you feel for him without a doubt. But these are players who, the longer they play, you realize they are fourth or fifth outfielders. They get a little exposed over time, and it's not something you can count on to stay in a pennant race. So you may get to the point where you say, all right, well, let's see what these kids can do, and maybe they can put a charge in this. And Bruce Bochy is going to have to cobble together these lineups and, you know, call up a kid and maybe he makes an impact and you hope he stays hot for 2 or 3 weeks and you try to extend that out. This whole season is going to be about cobbling together and bailing wire to stay in touch. And, you know, the good news is right now they're still in touch.
All right, to finish up here, you can only imagine how emotional it's going to be in Pittsburgh for Andrew McCutchen because he's going back to a place where he spent his entire career before this. I think he's fit in pretty well with the Giants, and you know, he's starting to hit better. He's getting on base a lot. He's walking a lot. But you can only imagine what it's going to be like when he walks into that stadium. You know, Giants have some pretty good memories from there, too. I mean, when they went in there for the do-or-die game and they were able to win, the, you know, Brandon Crawford and Madison Bumgarner and all that. I mean, all those memories are going to come back. So it should be a fun series to think about in Pittsburgh as the Giants really need to get back on track.
Well, they're facing, I think, Kion and Nova and Cool. So, they're going to be gunning for 2 out of 3, and that would give them a winning road trip, right? They would be at 5-5. Excuse me, right now they're 3-4. I think that would be a good end for them after everything that's happened. But for McCutchen, you know, you can imagine what the emotions are going to be like, and I know the fans are going to give him a warm reception on top of everything else. He was the face of that franchise. That was a team that was scuffling, and he was one of the players who brought them back into playoff contention and didn't work out for them in the playoffs. But, you know, you can't blame McCutchen for that. He helped get them there. And I always said when he was with the Pirates, the fingers of one hand, my favorite players who weren't Giants in the major leagues, Andrew McCutchen was one of them. And he could do it all. And he's not quite that player anymore, but he's still pretty good. I think he can still be pretty effective. He's starting to show it, you know. Defensively in the outfield, he's had his missteps, and he had them in Pittsburgh, and I think that's one of the contributing factors to him, leaving that town that they wanted to go with the younger, more athletic players, for example, in center field. But I think he's still a very good contributing ball player in the major leagues. So I think you're right. I think he's fit in that clubhouse, and hopefully he'll get a full season to show that.
So you have him, you had Barry Bonds, who came from Pittsburgh to San Francisco. Even if you go back, remember Bill Madlock? He was winning batting titles in Pittsburgh and ended up coming to the San Francisco Giants. Not quite the same player that he was, I don't think, in Pittsburgh when he came to the Giants, right? I'm trying to remember that whole history there. I don't know if he got traded from one place to the other. He might have actually started with the Giants and then went to Pittsburgh, but I know he won some batting titles in his career. He was a really good hitter.
Yeah, I think he won batting titles when he was with the Cubs.
Ah, that was probably it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Mad Dog. Yeah, he was a heck of a player, heck of a hitter, for sure. He's what they call nowadays an empty average because he didn't walk as much as some people were like nowadays. All he did was put the ball in play and do it with great regularity and with great success. He was a real good player. Freddie Sanchez.
Yeah, there's another guy, right.
So, and I want to say Javi Lopez. Javi Lopez.
Oh, yeah. Javi Lopez. Good one. A good call. Yeah, all those guys wore both uniforms.
Yeah. And of course, Ryan Vogelsong ended up going to Pittsburgh and then coming back, going to Japan and coming back here, then going back to Pittsburgh for one last hurrah. So there's been a real connection there over the years, these two franchises, no doubt about it. You hope McCutchen has the same effect that some of those guys we mentioned did. I don't know if that's going to happen. But I still like him as a ball player. I know a lot of people say, oh, he's washed and all that. No, he's not washed. He's just not quite the same player he was. Doesn't mean he still can't be effective.
Absolutely. Well, Ray, hopefully the Giants turn it around this weekend, and then they're back home next week. Look forward to talking with you about the Giants again next week.
Yes, and please post this on Facebook while you're at it, now that I've dragged them down. Yeah, we'll be on Facebook, Twitter, and God knows where else in the future.
That's Ray Woodson. He joins us every week here on thesportsvirus.com. And don't forget to listen to Dubs OT, our Warriors podcast, which continues with the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Join us again on Monday for Inside China Basin. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants are back home and taking on the Cincinnati Reds. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.